Are you addicted to anything? Or perhaps I should ask it this way, what are you addicted to? Is it television? Is it sugar? Is it cigarettes? Is it ice cream? Is it drugs? Is it pornography? Is it alcohol? Or maybe we are addicted to the affirmation and the praise of our friends. If you had to write down a short list of your worst addictions, what would they be? And while you're thinking about that short list of addictions, why don't you turn in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. We're going to begin reading here in a moment in verse number 15. I'm going to read all the way to verse number 21, but our primary focus just for today is going to be verse 18. So let me kind of get us all focused in on verse 18, and then we'll go back and read it in context. Do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit. But let's go back and look at it in context, beginning in verse number 15, where it says this, "Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise but as wise, making the best use of the time because the days are evil. Therefore do not be foolish but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with all your heart, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ." Well, a couple of weeks ago, before we had our missionaries in last week, Jim and Paula, and he preached, I covered verses 15 to 17, and there's sort of a mini paragraph in verses 18 down to verse 21. And the basic outline of that passage is quite easy to discern. First of all, there's this contrast in verse number 18. Do not get drunk with wine, but instead be filled with the Spirit. That contrast is really a continuation of a couple of other contrasts that began back in verse number 15. So verse number 15, look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, a negative there, but as a positive, but as wise. And then there's another one of these contrasts in verse number 17. Therefore, negative, do not be foolish, but positive, understand what the will of the Lord is. There in verse number 17, and then of course, verse 18, a negative and then a positive. Do not get drunk with wine, but instead be filled with the Spirit. And then, as you begin in verse number 19 down to verse number 21, there's just this great sort of sermon outline right there for us in the text. There are four natural results of being filled with the Spirit, and that is addressing one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. And then, so that's kind of horizontal this way, and then singing and making melody to the Lord. Then in verse number 20, there's another couple of them. Verse number 20, giving thanks. Also vertical, giving thanks to the Lord always for everything. And then the fourth one in verse number 21, submitting to one another. So you kind of have a horizontal in singing. We are, in some sense, speaking to one another. But then we have these two vertical ones. That is singing and making melody in our hearts and giving thanks to the Lord. And then another vertical one, another horizontal one, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. So I would like to consider this passage. If we were to think of verses 18 down to verse 21, there's kind of two headings. First of all, there's the inner life of the genuine Christian, resisting addictions and being filled with the Spirit of God. And then verses 19 to 21 would be the outward fruit of a transformed life, a life transformed by the Holy Spirit. This speaking to one another and singing and giving thanks and submitting to one another. Now this week, Lord willing, I'm going to talk about this inner life of a true believer. And then next week, we'll talk about these outward fruits of worship and thanksgiving and submitting to one another. So, the inner life of a genuine Christian. The inner life that is referred to here is really resisting the old ways of living, like drunkenness specifically listed here. But because we come from a context of contrasts and a whole list of other things, he talked for a number of verses about sexual perversion as well. We could list, let's say, any number of addictive and or destructive behaviors. We are called as Christians to leave that old way of life. And in contrast to those addictive and destructive behaviors, we are called instead to be filled by the Spirit of God. So first of all, I want us to consider this prohibition of drunkenness. And why in the world is it even, well, included here in this portion of Scripture? For one thing, the main point of this paragraph is not to talk about temperance or prohibition, something like national prohibition. The main point is this command to be filled by the Spirit of God. Paul the Apostle, through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, is contrasting things here, right? Foolishness and understanding what the will of the Lord is, being unwise and being wise. And so he's wanting to contrast something with being filled with the Holy Spirit. And he could have used any number of things. However, he did, for a specific reason, use drunkenness here in this particular context. And even though that's not the main command of the passage, I do want us to sort of take a rabbit trail, and it will be a longish one, to talk about addictive and destructive behaviors. So the primary question when we think about addiction, whether it's an addiction to alcohol, as talking about here in drunkenness, or drugs, or pornography, or overeating, or sexual immorality, or the approval of others, the primary question is, what does that addictive, destructive behavior say about our hearts? What does it say about our hearts? When an addict reaches for the bottle or clicks on a porn site, they are, or we might say, we are reaching for a feeling. Perhaps we could put it in this kind of context. When we even are manipulating a conversation to try to fish for the approval and the praise of our friends, we are doing so because we are reaching for a feeling. And that feeling is a feeling of security and significance. And yet, what should we be finding our security and our significance in? We should find that security, that comfort, and that significance in the Lord. When we are stressed and when we are hurting, when we are struggling or when we are nervous, instead of clinging to the approval of our friends in some unhealthy way, instead of smoking or shooting something that's illegal, for that matter, instead of eating an oversized bowl of ice cream or smoking an entire pack of cigarettes, we should be going to the Lord. That's where we should find our healing and help when we are under pressure. It's only in the Lord that we can find security and significance anyway. That's what our hearts need. It's a legitimate need, but it's only in the Lord that we can find them. So there is this sense in which Paul is contrasting drunkenness and being transformed by the Spirit of God. Of course, when someone is addicted to wine and when they are drunk, yes, bad things happen. But they're reaching for something that is good. But nevertheless, They're reaching for something that only God can provide. Another way of saying that would simply be this: a vibrant Christian life, a life that is lived in the power of God's grace, a life that is lived in commitment to Him, that provides everything that we might be tempted to look for in an addictive behavior. So at this point, we just need to kind of pause and make some application from this particular rabbit trail. Okay? Have you ever heard of an addictive personality? Someone has ever said that to you, "I have an addictive personality." Well, I personally think we all have addictive personalities. Okay? We all are tempted to find our security and our significance in things other than the Lord. If we find them in other things, my friends, bad things happen. That's what debauchery basically means. Bad things happen when people get drunk, when people get high, but also when people find security and significance in things other than the Lord. If we do not have a living, vibrant, powerful relationship with God, we will find ourselves following addictive pathways towards something. And so we all need to examine our hearts and our habits. When we reach for the TV remote just to veg out, when we reach for that snack, when we are seeking for the approval of others, what are we doing? Are we looking for something that only God can provide? And then the other application would simply be this. I'm sorry, I already made that one. Let me move on. So the first part of this verse leads us to examine our hearts and the ways that we use particular things in our lives to fill up the holes that only God can fill. But we need to move on to this part of what does it mean to be filled with the Spirit of God? What does it mean to be filled with the Spirit of God? What is the apostle talking about? How did it apply to the Ephesians? And what does it mean for us? So, for the rest of the message, what I'm going to do is I'm going to state what I believe being filled with the Spirit means, and then I'm going to take the time to spell that out in some detail. So here we go. What does it mean to be filled with the Spirit? To be filled with the Spirit means to be transformed by the ministry of the Spirit. It means to be transformed by the ministry of the Spirit. Now, that may sound somewhat different than various other explanations that you have heard about this verse. So, let me kind of spell this out, and then I'll move on to what being filled with the Spirit does not mean. To be filled with the Spirit means to be transformed. It means to be made into a godly, mature, biblical Christian with Christ-like character and a sense of God's presence and power in our lives. It means that the Holy Spirit has brought about the fruit of the Spirit. You might be familiar with from Galatians, and we will look at chapter 5 of Galatians in a moment, in our character and in our lifestyle. There's been a lot of controversy over the last 100 years about the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And so, I should at least say some things that the filling of the Spirit is not. So, the filling of the Spirit is not getting drunk on the Holy Spirit. There are some people who preach and teach because of the context and the contrast between don't get drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit, and they just sort of assume that, well, if we're not supposed to get drunk on wine, and therefore the definition of being filled with the Spirit is sort of a drunkenness, kind of a spiritual high, and perhaps even some unexplained activity, being quote-unquote drunk on the Holy Spirit. And that, it's two different words. It's not what the apostle is talking about here, that somehow we would get a little crazy on the Holy Spirit. No, the Holy Spirit is a spirit of order and peace and grace and goodness. Being filled with the Spirit is also not a second blessing charismatic experience. Being filled with the Holy Spirit is not a second blessing charismatic experience. It is not something that you must sort of work yourself up to and pray through to accomplish. It is not a second blessing charismatic experience. People sometimes would lead you to believe that you need something in addition to your salvation. That somehow we got a portion of the Christian experience of the Holy Spirit at that point, and we need sort of a second measure of the Spirit. And that's just not what is being talked about here. For one thing, if we just will drill down for a moment into the Greek tenses of the verb, it is a present tense verb, to be filled with the Spirit, and it means regularly and continually. And although I don't make a habit of preaching from the Greek tenses of verbs, it is where it does apply specifically here. It means regularly and continually, so it cannot be some specific, attaining of a special experience at one point after your salvation. It should begin at our salvation and continue for the rest of our lives. Being filled with the Spirit is also not, and there's an element of truth in this one, but it's not exclusively being controlled by the Spirit. Being filled with the Spirit is not exclusively being controlled by the Spirit. If we think of the idea of being controlled by the Spirit, it's tempting to think in the terms of sort of being directly controlled by the Spirit. But this is talking more about life transformation, character transformation, not sort of, oh, the Holy Spirit led me to do this, and the Holy Spirit led me to do this. The Holy Spirit transformed my life into godly character, and I live for God out of that character. And this one, and this is where I don't often sort of preach from the Greek, but I have to appeal to you to put your thinking caps on and follow me through with this. The being filled with the Spirit is not necessarily being filled up with the Holy Spirit. Some people would think in terms of, being filled up with the Holy Spirit, now there's no more room for sin and selfishness, right? And that's a good thought, but that's not what this verse is talking about. There is an interpretational decision that Bible translators have to make, and Bible commentators and even pastors and preachers have to make when they drill down into the Greek of this verse. And they have to decide, does being filled with the Spirit mean that we get filled up with the Holy Spirit as if the Holy Spirit is the content of our life? Or does it mean that by means of the Holy Spirit, our lives get filled up with content such as Christ-like character and the fruit of the Spirit and the presence and power of God? And for several different reasons related to the Greek vocabulary and grammar, something that I might could explain on a Sunday night at some point, I think that being filled with the Spirit means to be filled in our lives by means of the ministry of the Holy Spirit with godly, Christ-like character, the fruit of the Spirit, and the presence and power of God, and the truth of the Word of God. And again, the primary reason for that is simply because of the grammar structure here, where Paul uses a specific preposition that means instrumental. So by the instrument of the Holy Spirit working in our lives, we are filled up with the presence of God and godly character, as opposed to another Greek construction that he did use for other things that means getting filled up with the content of the Holy Spirit somehow. So here's an illustration. Is the Holy Spirit the well pump that pumps our lives full of something else? Or is the Holy Spirit the water that gets into the container of our life? And having thought through it and looked at it in the Greek, as well as read several other commentaries, I'm confident that it means the Holy Spirit is the well pump filling us up with godly character and Christ-like attributes. So you might be thinking, okay, thanks a lot, Pastor, for that grammar lesson, but what's the point? What does it mean? Well, first of all, I think that this command to be filled with the Spirit, we need to realize that we're not looking for some indefinable experience with the Holy Spirit. We are looking for the Holy Spirit to bring about an ongoing, lifelong transformation by His convicting and His teaching and His leading in our lives. And so now, at this point, we need to ask ourselves, okay, so what is the content that the well pump of the Holy Spirit is going to pour into a Christian's life? And there are three passages of Scripture that answer that question. So let me please ask you to turn in your Bibles, first of all, to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. And this is, of course, the famous passage written by the Apostle Paul under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit regarding the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit. Galatians chapter 5, beginning in verse number 22, it says this: "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law, and those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and its desires." And so from this we can draw, what are some of the things that the Holy Spirit wants to pour into our lives? Well, certainly all of these things. Love for God, love for one another, joy in our hearts and our lives, just joy in our salvation, joy in Christian fellowship, things like peace and patience. Do you need peace and patience? That's the kind of thing that the ministry of the Spirit of Peace will bring into your life. All of these godly, Christ-like characteristics, it's what the Holy Spirit wants to build into our lives through His teaching us, through the Word, and through convicting our hearts. Also from this passage, we can't forget verse number 24. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and its desires. In other words, part of what the Holy Spirit wants to pump into the container of our lives is a holy resistance to sin, a willingness to fight against temptation and our own selfish desires, our own fleshly desires. So godly character and a resistance to sin. Another passage of Scripture that helps us kind of zero in on the content that the Holy Spirit wants to fill into our lives is Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, verse number 16. And this passage is an interesting and almost exact parallel to our passage in Galatians 5:18. So, saying things a little bit differently, but nevertheless, a powerful parallel to our passage. There, and you find these all the way through the book of Ephesians and Colossians. There's verse after verse after verse, especially key verses. They're just repeated in different words in Colossians. So this is Colossians chapter 3, verse number 16. "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly." Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. That essentially is equivalent to being filled with the Spirit. Because watch how he carries this on. "Teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God." That's an amazing parallel. And essentially what being filled with the Spirit is in Ephesians chapter 5 is being filled up with the truth of God's word in Colossians chapter 3. So to be filled with the Spirit is to know and believe and obey the Word of God. The word that the Spirit inspired, when that fills our hearts, we are being filled with the Spirit. When you overflow with a Bible verse now and then, you are being filled with the Spirit of God. And then back in Ephesians, from kind of the larger context, there's a verse in chapter 3 that talks about being filled, and it helps us understand what Paul talks about in chapter 5 when he brings up being filled again in relationship to the Holy Spirit. So Ephesians chapter 3, and I want you to start by looking at verse number 19, but then we'll kind of go backwards into verse number 18. Paul is praying, and he's listing out these grand prayer requests that he makes for the Ephesian believers. And he says this, he prays that they would know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. So, what are they going to be filled with? He wants them to be filled with the fullness of God, which is very comparable to being filled with the Holy Spirit, as we compare these two contexts. And what he's wanting, you can back up to verse number 18, he's wanting that the people may have the strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and the length and the height and the depth, this expansive knowledge of the love, verse number 19, the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge. And so what he is saying here is that if we want our lives to be filled up with the presence and power of God, we must focus our hearts on the love of Christ. He's just saying, I'm praying that my church people would just be astounded at the expansive love of God, the love of Christ for them. So, in some sense, what we could say if we go back to verse number 18, that being filled with the Spirit is when we're under stress, instead of reaching for the bottle or comfort food or vegging out with hours on end of television or clicking on pornography, instead of doing that as a security blanket of comfort, we go to the love of Christ as our security blanket. And that is being filled with the fullness of God, or being filled with the Holy Spirit. So, a genuine Christian life is a life that is transformed by the ministry of the Holy Spirit. It is filled up with the presence of God and the love of Christ. It knows and believes and obeys the Word of God, and there is evidence of the fruit of the Spirit, these characteristics of love and joy and peace and gentleness and grace in their lives. And that transformation will overflow, well, in next week's sermon, in speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs and worshiping God and singing to Him and also submitting to one another in the various social structures of the home and the society and employment and the church. And that goes all the way into chapter 6, actually. This passage contains great comfort, but it also contains a great and serious challenge for our Christian lives. So first of all, let's talk about the comfort of this passage. Some of us as Christians may not feel very spiritual. Some of us as Christians may not feel very spiritual. You know, we don't have necessarily the same great spiritual experiences that it seems like other people have. But this passage directly encourages us that the filling of the Holy Spirit, or being filled up by means of the Holy Spirit, is more about godly character than it is about spiritual highs. It is more about transformed godliness than it is about experiences. It is more about whether or not we believe and obey and are full of the Word of Christ. is about whether or not we display the fruit of the Spirit, love and joy and peace and kindness and patience and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. Being filled with the Spirit is not so much feeling like we're being led by the Spirit, it's whether or not we obey the Word of God. That is the leading of the Holy Spirit. Do we continually give thanks? Do we praise God? Do we worship God in the midst of the ups and downs of our lives? And that should be a great comfort. We're not looking for some ambiguous experience. We are examining for godly character and transformation in our lives. Has the Holy Spirit filled you up with some godliness? And then, of course, the challenge is, are we being transformed by the Holy Spirit? Is that godly character there? Could someone say that you're full of the Bible? Could someone say that you know it and believe it and obey it? Could someone say that you are secure in the love of Christ? That's what it means to be filled up with the fullness of God. And when we are secure in Christ's love, there is nothing that can shake us. And then also this passage, because of the first part of verse number 18, do not be drunk with wine, it does challenge us to examine our lives and our hearts for addictions. Are there things in our lives that we are trusting for security and for significance other than the love of God? Some addictive behaviors are so obvious and obviously evil and so destructive. Everybody sees them. God certainly wants to deliver us from those. But even sometimes, the very best things in life can become a security blanket that replaces the Lord. So we need to guard our hearts and we need to focus our hearts on God who loves us. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes with me for a moment? Would you just take a few moments to kind of examine your heart and your life? In a few moments, we're going to take communion. And one way of examining yourself would simply be to ask, are there things that I find significance and security in that aren't really of the Lord? They're not my position in Christ. They're not His love for me. It's some other relationship. It's some other possession. It's some other something. And I find too much comfort. I find too much security in that. If that's the case in your life, confess that to the Lord. Bring it to Him. And then, of course, ask yourself, is there evidence of a transformed life? Is there godly character? Is the Word of God filling me and leaking out to encourage others? Is there a sense of the presence of God in my heart, in my life, in the ups and downs? In a few moments, I'll close this in prayer. Oh, dear Heavenly Father, we do long for the Holy Spirit to fill us up. Fill us up with a sense of Your power and Your presence, that You are with us through thick and thin, that You are sustaining us during the most difficult of times. Oh, Lord, we do long to see evidence in our own hearts and lives of love and joy and peace and patience, goodness, faithfulness. We want to be gentle people. We want to have self-control. We want to fight sin and selfishness in our lives. Oh Lord, may it be that You would fill us up with those things. May we be godly in our character. Thank you, Lord, for the ministry of the Holy Spirit in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.